Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. Lake Effect contributor Kyle Chera keeps close tabs on the Wisconsin and the Milwaukee food scenes. He's host of the television show Wisconsin Foodie and a regular writer and commentator about all things food and dining here. Cherick has made the point recently that he believes the Milwaukee dining scene is at a tipping point, and that led Lake Effect's Bonnie North to ask him exactly what he means by that.
Oh, there's a couple of factors. So when we look back at eras or times or things that happened in the past in Milwaukee's dining scene, Sandy D'Amato opens up in 1889 with Sanford. Joe and Paul Bartolotta open up Ristorante in 93. And what those three nice Italian boys did was set the standard really high, but also create a cooking class, a talent class within service that then 20 years later we all reap the benefits from, and their success continued. And we can look at Walker's Point. So the Social opened up, I think, in 95, Crazy Water just before that, and that was it down there. I mean, you couldn't even get a sandwich in a gas station. There weren't even any gas stations to get sandwiches in. And now it's the boom. It's the de rigueur of new, great, engaging, terrific dining for the most part in the city. And we can say that was then, and I ate at the Social then or Crazy Water then. For our city in a larger spectrum, we've got Arden and Justin Carlisle, who's the first Milwaukee chef and restaurant ever to be noted by the James Beard Foundation for best new restaurant in the country.
And that was 2 months after he opened.
2 months after he opened, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Never has happened before and probably will never happen again. We've got Justin Aperhamian at Sanford, who you've had on the show. A year and a half after he purchases the restaurant from Sandy and Angie, he wins the James Beard Best Chef Midwest Award again. So second one for Sanford Restaurant, new chef. And then we've got the Good Kind crew. And these are all just high points of what I'm talking about. But these are five industry restaurant people, all sort of dream team. One is a husband and wife, Paul and Lisa Zirkel. Katie Rose is one of the best cocktail talents in the country, and the national press has said as much. And then BJ Seidel and Jess Seidel, who own Bernhardt's as well, which not as a surprise, many of the chefs after their shifts go to Bernhardt's and drink. So they came together, put this restaurant up in Bayview, one of the new horizons as a restaurant location, never fought once. And they're really crushing it with service and food, and they're still tweaking things. But Paul Zirkel's interesting as a chef because he cut his teeth in talent, even though he's from here, out in Portland, just as that scene was really coming into its own.
So that, not to put a pun here, but that fed into...
That fed into, yeah. And then he came back here in 2006 just as we were really hitting the ground running. And there's just too many things coalescing. I was talking off microphone about the Blues Egg, Maxi's, Southern Comfort folks. What Joe and Dan are doing with their new place over on Blue Mound Road in the city, you know, they keep opening up these amazing restaurants in locations that should not work. And then they're uber successful because the food's so compelling. When I look around and I start assessing the fabric that's pulling together in our dining scene, we now have our own momentum and we're not looking over our shoulder at all. When Justin Carlisle has this great guest chef program happening at Ardent and he's got people from South America coming in to cook there and chefs from around the country, that says something. He had Chris Pandel, who's one of James Beard himself, who's down in Chicago, who's one of the best names known nationally, coming and cooking at Ardent for 30 people. That says something about the city. And it's resonating out and out and out. And even when you look at one of the originators, so Bartolotta, who started with a lot of really great, exquisite concepts. So first Italian, they did that impeccably. Then French, Lake Park, still exquisite. Bacchus, on and on and on. They're broadening out into larger, broader feed people concepts like their U.S. Bank and some of the other things. But that's okay because they've got 1,000 employees, but the tips of their spear have still never dropped. The food at Lake Park, I mean, the president of Rolex came through a couple of months ago on tour with one of the jewelers, had lunch at Lake Park, and on cracking open the French bread began to cry because he hadn't had good French bread in an entire month's tour of the U.S. at our French restaurant in Milwaukee. That tells you something about the level that we're cooking at. Ristorante is still impeccable. I mean, Juan is one of the four best Italian chefs in the Midwest. And then when Paul Bartolotta flies back, there's five. It's, you know, so those haven't dipped. So that diversification, that depth, And what it does is it pools in our talent. I was talking to a sous chef at Tochi, the ramen place, the other day. He's cooked all throughout Portland as well. He cooked for some of the major names, Chris Domino and others, came back to Milwaukee because the scene was ready for his talent, and he's just working his way around right now, figuring out where he wants to land.
So it sounds like we are on the cusp of – we already have it in some ways, but on the cusp of a bigger golden age.
Yes. There's no question. There's no question. In my mind, as I look and taste and think and feel about these things on a daily basis, I have no apprehension that we'll look back in 10 or 15 years and say, wow, that was really small and finite and exciting, and we didn't even know what we had in our hands at that time. And look at all the talent graduates that started out in those kitchens working two or three steps away from some of the chefs that I'm mentioning now that now have gone on and, you know, brought the standard back to Milwaukee yet again and again and again and again.
As you're talking about this, you know, I think it's fantastic that we have this talent and we have this quality of dining available to us. My question to you, and it's one that we've talked about before, is
I know what you're going to say.
Do we have the patrons to sustain it? Is the economic structure there in order to keep these people here and to keep the scene vibrant?
I think yes and no. I think there's a lot of early adapters to the dining that's coming on. I think there's a lot of folks that are simply following the trend because that's what people are doing. And I hope and think and believe that this is a little magical realism, right? That eventually more people will gravitate here to feed the offerings than we have now. That will have to happen. There's no question. We still have so many talented chefs. We still have underpriced real estate. We have great ingredients. We'll always have that. We have a terrific culinary school. All those things that we were saying that come together to make the sauce, and now the sauce is not going to break. It's right at that perfect spot. 10 years ago, if you'd looked at any of the restaurant groups like Bartolotta, Surge, or what Joe Sorge is doing with his concepts, or Marcus, or any of those folks, and said, "You want to open up all these places? There won't be enough people to come." Well, that's been proven wrong Tuesday through Saturday night with their business. So I'm ebullient. I'm positively optimistic that the more high quality we put out there, the more the people will seek it, and they'll get accustomed to it, and they'll demand it, and we'll be able to open up more and more and more.
The good self-fulfilling prophecy.
The good self-fulfilling prophecy, yeah.
Yeah.
And I do think we've talked about this in other chats on the show. I do think that we're going to get to a bubble stage and then it'll collapse a little bit because that's what bubbles do. And that's a positive thing. The outliers and the ones that really aren't in it will fade away.
But the key people and the ones who are really doing the good work,
yeah, yeah,
should have enough to sustain them.
I mean, quality within cuisine will always find a place. It may not be their heart's ideal, but you know, in all the people that you interview, when you're exceptional at something, the world will make a space for you. It may not be exactly how you planned, but the world will make a space for you. And there's nothing more intimate, aside from human touch, than food. It's something we all need. We need clean water, fresh air, human touch, stories, and nourishment. So we'll embrace that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We can say we talked about it when.
Exactly. And we ate there when.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle Cherik, as always, such a pleasure to chat with you.
It's a delight. I just love being here. Thank you.
Kyle Cherik is host of the public television show Wisconsin Foodie and a regular Lake Effect contributor.